It's time for our weekly review of state news with news guy Noah Oshinsky. Wisconsin held elections this week, two of which had to do with the state Supreme Court. We'll talk about the results, as well as Shirley Abrahamson's legal challenge to keep her spot as Chief Justice.
A state agency made news this week when it voted to ban employees from working on climate change while on the job. We'll cover what happened and the perception of that.
Finally, the DNR is considering changes to its science bureau and may dissolve that group entirely.
For more on those stories, WPR's assistant news director Noah Oshinsky joins us in the studio. Noah, welcome back.
It is good to be here as always, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Well, looking back to Tuesday, election results, not the most marquee of elections we've ever seen here in Wisconsin, but a couple of statewide issues on the ballot.
Absolutely. Low-key, but races of consequence nonetheless. Two big races, and both involve the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, the incumbent and member of the liberal wing on the court, ran against Rock County Judge James Daly. Bradley won convincingly. Whether it's a landslide or not, I'll leave that up to you, but won convincingly with 58% of the vote to Daly's 42%. This is Bradley, actually, in her acceptance speech, talking about how her vision for an independent court, one free from special interests, led to this win.
There are those who would trade away the public trust and confidence in our courts, the very trust and confidence that gives us our legitimacy. To them, I say, not in our system of justice.
So the incumbent, Bradley, reelected. Does this change much of anything on the court itself?
Not really. It doesn't really alter things too much. Conservative justices still hold a majority on the court. These races are technically nonpartisan, but many times the actual rulings and races end up being, you know, made or decided along political philosophies. I suppose Bradley's election means that, you know, there could be at least one more dissenting opinion in some politically charged cases. Other than that, not much of a change.
Yeah, we didn't see the barrage of ads we've seen in past ones. And in part, maybe that's because no matter what happened, that majority was going to be there. 4-3 or 5-2 maybe wasn't as worth people getting invested in.
Exactly. It wasn't all that consequential when you look at the different ways elections can affect the Supreme Court.
And then another statewide, not a race exactly, a ballot item.
Right. So this was a constitutional amendment that changes the way the chief judge is selected on the court. Right now, the longest serving justice is the chief. So it's established by seniority. The amendment, which passed 53% to 47%, turns the decision making over to the court itself. So the court will now be able to select their chief.
As you mentioned, these statewide court races tend to have a partisan political angle on them, even though they're nonpartisan. What was the partisan or political backdrop here?
Not officially, but the question, you know, in reality, it really was kind of partisan because Republican lawmakers added it to the ballot. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business group, spent over $500,000 promoting it. So there certainly was a partisan edge to the question.
So this could mean an actual change on the court.
Yeah, absolutely. It could mean that Justice Shirley Abrahamson, who is the current chief and considered a liberal, will likely be replaced by a member of the court's conservative majority.
Story's not quite over yet, though. Some developments later in the week.
Right, exactly. So Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson filed a lawsuit in an effort to keep that title, actually, until the end of her term later on in the decade. She argues that was the assumption, essentially, that voters made when they reelected her in 2009, that they were not only reelecting her, but also her in that role. So we'll see what happens with that lawsuit.
And what is the latest development? I know there's a road ahead for that suit.
Right. So federal judge declined to issue a preliminary injunction, which would have prevented the court from taking steps to implement that change. So, you know, they can't technically stop it from being, you know, from the court actually taking up this change. But the court in the case said that he wasn't really deciding on the merits of the case. He just said that he thinks it can be resolved quick enough so that, you know, no injunction was needed. A hearing is actually set for April 21st.
Okay, we'll watch to see what happens there and what the court actually does afterward. Now, the DNR, it's been in the news thanks in part to Governor Walker's budget, but there was more to the story, it turned out, this week.
Right. So this was a report by Ron Seeley at the Center for Investigative Journalism, and he's reporting this week that the DNR is considering dissolving the Bureau of Science Services. Now, for a little background, this is actually a division made up mostly of scientists that supply the data, the research, that helps inform the policies of the DNR, other state agencies, as well as the work of, you know, various nonprofit groups around the state.
So what happens then under this concept of ending that particular department?
Right. So the agency is looking at least dissolving the division and redistributing the researchers throughout the entirety of the DNR. Officials aren't commenting specifically about the possible changes. When asked previously, though, about sort of the DNR's commitment to research, officials there have said that science will remain part of the decision-making process.
And Governor Walker's budget proposal included some cuts to the DNR, including some of the positions that would be affected here.
Yeah, more than a dozen positions are being proposed to be cut in that division alone. And that's aside from this potential plan to dissolve it.
Okay, now, DNR, a lot of people have political views here. What's been the response? Is there criticism already to this?
Yeah, absolutely. Critics, both inside and outside of the agency. Ron Seely quoted an unnamed DNR manager who said the change would, quote, destroy the independence and credibility of scientific research within the agency. George Meyer, former DNR secretary and current executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, said the change would actually undermine the DNR's credibility with an organization, you know, like his, that he belongs to.
So where does this go now?
Stay tuned. You know, the ongoing budget process and this proposed change are, you know, closely linked. So I'd guess that there may be some news to report on this front probably in the coming weeks, if not months.
All right. And now another environment-related story. And this one, some people have been making a big deal out of on social media on climate change in the state.
Right. So this is a story that went national. And what happened is the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, which is a tiny agency by state government standards, voted 2-1 to prohibit staff from working on climate change issues while on the clock. And just as a reminder, this is sort of an agency we don't talk a lot about in the news, but it manages various state assets, which includes public land, and that's primarily forests in northern Wisconsin.
So why did this issue come up?
Well, two members of the board, both Republicans, voted in favor of this policy. Both say it's an effort to prevent staff from working on things they don't see as part of the agency's mission. The members include Attorney General Brad Schimmel and State Treasurer Matt Adamczyk.
And then that was a 2-1 vote. Who dissented?
The dissenting vote was Secretary of State Doug LaFollette. He argues that the issue of climate change is in fact relevant to the agency's mission, given that they, you know, manage forests and that forests, in fact, are affected by climate change. He also says the policy change was aimed specifically at Tia Nelson, the board's executive secretary. If that name sounds familiar, it should. She is the daughter of Gaylord Nelson, the founder of Earth Day.
So a small state agency, you said. It's those guys elected to those statewide positions that aren't governor. Why is this getting the attention it is, do you think?
Well, you know, I'll leave it to the listener to decide how big of a deal it is, but it is representative of this sort of ongoing debate or divide we have in this country over whether climate change is real, and if so, what is causing it, and in this case, how that debate influences what government does or does not do.
All right, Noah, thanks as always for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
That's WPR's Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky covering some of the biggest news from around the state for our Wisconsin News Roundup.